Of course, there is a critical piece of information that I'm just coming to terms with, and I know, William, you'd equally be devastated by the news that Michelle Moon's company for Ultimo Braziers has actually also gone into liquidation.
Yes, I saw that, but she sold out ages ago, and so it's just, yeah, no one else was capable of running the brand quite like Baroness Moon of Mayfair.
And it gave us such natural uplift as well. It was, I mean, how am I going to cope these days? I just don't know. Never mind.
Have you ever had your fingers on an Ultimo bra then, Alex?
I'm not sure I can answer that at 2.5 minutes past 5 o'clock on a Wednesday afternoon.
The truth is right. Always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
Excellent. So, Shaylee, what sort of a week have you had since, well, actually a few days since we were parading our wares, so to speak, around the joys of the Lincolnshire Showground on Sunday for a location report, which you can listen to tomorrow night, actually. Just after 7 o'clock, exactly, when it's Shaylee and the Royce family and yours truly doing an on-location report from the Countryside Links event.
Bridget Royce was a very nice young lady. Sue has done well with that one. In terms of what I've been up to, I am also doing jewellery now, so I've got a third job. Yeah, the life of a struggling graduate.
Not struggling, celebrating and being joyous. And we've just had a line from Anna Lewis who says she's alive and well and in a company that actually begins with a T and ends in an O, actually. She's a supermarket that's five letters, don't go any further. Shameless plug. I think we pretty much identified where they're. I think they actually were originally from Scotland, I believe, if memory serves.
Oh, interesting.
I think they might have been from Scotland. Anyway, we might like to ask her. Perhaps you could actually ask somebody in the company to say, were you originally from Scotland? So they won't know the answer. I'm sure that employees of this particular company used to be with Woolworths, and then they obviously took a career uplift for the whole system.
Oh, Woolworths.
Yeah,
what golden oldie.
Well, exactly. Now, Richard Bellis, do you remember Woolworths? I mean, I've thrown that cultural line out there.
Yeah, I do. I do. I remember it in Middlesbrough. I've visited that place many times, and I was very upset when it closed.
In the Cleveland Centre. It's always nice when we get somebody from the borough in Lincoln, because it means that we can spend a lot of time just sort of touching base on cultural things like Linthorpe Road and the traffic jam on Martin Way.
Oh, God,
the Martin Crawl.
I don't think I've ever been.
Well, you know, we need to put it right. I mean, I have suggested to management here at Siren Radio, forget traffic and travel in Lincoln, much so very exciting that it happens to be. Let's just do it from the point of view of Middlesbrough. It's always changing, always working, apart from Martin Crawl, which stays pretty constant. William, having had your sons forgiven, possibly both actually, did the family greet you with open arms when you'd done the actual pilgrimage, or did you actually take them along with you?
No, I certainly did not take them along with me. Anyway, any pilgrim who takes their family along deserves to be taken out and shot dead. No, they were all there waiting, and they were thrilled, obviously, to see me, along with the bits of Santiago de Compostela tat that I had brought back, sort of shells and incense burners and bits of Santiago chocolate.
Did you bring an inflatable donkey, or a kind of furry donkey, or any sort of Spanish donkey whatsoever?
I brought back, amongst other things, a silver plate thurible, or incense burner, because Santiago has probably the world's biggest incense burner, and I saw it in action, and it was swinging up to the roof, maybe 20 metres high. It was epic.
Marvellous.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, and again, in terms of the whole system, last pilgrimage I was on was actually back in 1973, and I was taken by my parents to Lourdes, in the Pyrenees.
Nice.
Pyrenees, etc., worked for that basis. You want another confession now, William? I can tell you're angling for it. So
yes, I love your confession. And I will tell you whether you were shriven.
Okay, well, the line was, we went by train, so as my parents and myself, and Toulouse Station. I was on the train, father was on the train, mother had not got on the train, she was actually on the platform. The train started moving. What did I think as a 6-7-year-old soul at that stage was the best thing to do? Pull the emergency cord. Yes,
oh, wow.
I have pulled the emergency cord on a French train. The police were out, the guns were out. Oh, no, but anyway,
I did
explain, you know, it's just my mother there. You can't leave her alone. They claimed they were just shunting the thing. I said, that's not shunting. You were leaving the station. Anyway, so there we are. That's the little bit of insight there. So when you actually do write the screenplay for the story of my life, feel free to actually incorporate that in whichever way you want to, William. I'm sure you can actually see it.
Was your mummy very happy, despite having to pay the 50-franc fine?
I think she appreciated that I had hadn't done it out of malevolence or mischief. It was just basically that I didn't want to be part of it.
Panic. Pure panic.
Exactly. This is it.
It's like when you lose your mum in the TO of places. Pure panic.
Have you ever lost any of your parents, Richard? Or is it a case of no? They've tried several times wrapping up your sending to Lincoln for a work placement, for instance. You know.
Well, there is that because they've gone up to Scotland this week.
All right. Whereabouts?
Loch Tay, I believe.
Loch Tay. Nice. Does that measure on your radar, William? Loch Tay.
Afraid it's another loch that I haven't visited. I gather there are quite a few of them in Scotland.
Well, you know, one of these days we'll have to do a location report on every single one, including Loch Ness and Loch Lomond and various other ones, including the major ones as well. So have you actually sorted this whole challenge out now of the San Diego pilgrimage? What's the next thing you're going to be looking forward to do? Or is it a case of, no, it's okay, I'm going to take time out now to write some more screenplays?
No, I'm going to do the screenplays, obviously. No, I've signed up for the next one, the Engadine Ski Marathon. This is in Engadine near St Moritz, and I have never been on the sort of langlauf skiing before, and so that's next March is what I've signed up for already. And apparently, you have to go training on skis with wheels on.
Wow.
Not related to Madame Engadine from the Prisoner TV series, presumably, or is it just Engadine as in a whole new place to actually check out in France?
Yes, it's a place. I haven't heard of this madam, but I'm sure she's very nice.
Fictional character, but then again, there is such a thing as saying there's no such thing as unreality. We all exist on our own ways. In some alternate reality, the creations that Richard has been putting together in his stop-motion cinematography actually live and exist. Would you like to share with William, and I know we'll send out the connections as well, what you were doing before heading off to the delights of university in the northeast?
Oh, before university? Well, I was doing my A-levels in history, politics and religious studies, but also doing my YouTube Lego animations, as always.
YouTube Lego animations, William. Yeah, it's you know, back in the day, we just used to play with our Lego. We didn't used to put them on YouTube. We would have thought it was a U-Bend, some kind of plumbing scenario there, but no, on YouTube. And how popular are these YouTube things becoming?
Well, they've proved quite popular recently. I mean, I think my Godzilla vs. King Kong video has got 300,000 views now.
Wow.
I mean, I'm amazed at how well it's done, considering.
In fact, it's fair to say, and we'll raise this with Phil Dinas, it might well be that that was just part of the inspiration that Steven Spielberg took from when he had Mechagodzilla versus Iron Giant in Ready Player One. Yeah,
I have not seen that yet. I will now.
Exactly. Clearly, you need to actually check that thing out. William, have you got anything you'd like to ask to Shaylee or to Richard about how he's been finding his work placement? Because it's a rare treat to actually have a placementee who's able to actually stick around for the midweek drive and sort of explain what it is he's been doing under the excellent auspices of Orion. And have you been working with Ed, or has Ed basically decided, I have nothing to do with this at all, I've stepped away from the whole essence of everything?
Yeah, I haven't met Ed.
Yeah, what I'd like to ask Richard is, you, Alex, have this sort of veneer of being, you know, nothing can ever faze you whatsoever. Richard, what rattled Alex's cage?
Oh, I have no idea what's wrong with this.
Richard's digging
deep.
Have
you ever seen him get a little bit vexed, you know, a little bit tetchy? Or does this never happen?
No, I don't think it ever happens. I've never really seen anything rattle his cage.
It's not worth the coronary, is my line, really. You've got to just step away from that. You've got to think about the pressure, ease back, all will be well with the world.
That's all right. How do you manage this, Alex?
Mindfulness. William, mindfulness. Living in the moment, realizing exactly that every second that passes after 11 minutes and 10 seconds past 5 o'clock is something to be cherished and part of our 7,200-second program we're currently doing for Siren Radio. It's all to do with mindfulness.
Okay, very good.
Right, now, Richard, will you be able to remember those last two questions? Or is it such a long time ago? Because it was the summer when you were doing an initial sort of line with Siren Sister Station up at Southside Broadcasting, and you did our Friday shows, which we then sort of broadcast again here on Wednesdays. Because as Shaylee will attest to, this was a building site.
It was indeed.
Exactly. So, can you remember what the last two questions are? There's no shame if you don't. It's perfectly okay.
I'll ask them to myself, shall I?
He's eager.
Yeah. Richard, over to you first. Let's try it first.
I think it goes something like, have you had a good conversation with us?
Yeah.
Yes, Richard, I've had a very interesting telephonic link with you. Thank you so much for asking.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. And will you come back again?
Just as soon as the boss asked me. Thank you.
There we are. It's all wonderment. Hurrah and hip hip hooray! that kind of calming piece of melody that really, if you shipped out of Jersey and you're now based in Isleworth and you're checking out supermarkets and superstores and you're putting Facebook posts up to let Mark Zuckerberg know exactly what you're doing on a regular day-by-day basis, or at least Cambridge Analytics. Anna Lewis, welcome to the Midweek Drive. Your first official link with us from Isleworth.
Yep. Not too far from. I'm sort of in a Tesco, which is near Mogden Lane Sewage Treatment Works. It's a
splendid part of Isleworth. That's why we like to move down to the capital of the country. You can have supermarkets right next door to Sewage Works. Brilliant. It's what you call one-stop shop in some ways. Anna, I know you've got a little bit of a cold, and that's not surprising given that sort of huge move. But any regrets so far? Is it a case of rather like Robert Post's daughter in Cold Comfort Farm, Flora Post? You're thinking, well, it's all going to work out splendidly.
Yep, so far things haven't worked out splendidly.
Oh, no!
Ever the optimist.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Because let's face it, you're needed to civilise the Londoners. You know, they don't think maybe it's because I'm a Jerseyite that I love London town. But you can actually introduce that to them, step by step. Shaylee, have you got any quick questions you'd like to ask to Anna?
Yeah,
about,
no, definitely.
Or indeed advice for her throat, you know, either of those things, you know, a nice hot toddy possibly. You know.
Lemon and honey in hot water works wonders. But also, aside from the milk, what have you noticed is the biggest change from Jersey to London?
The prices in the shops. It's so much cheaper in England than Jersey.
Really?
It's gobsmacking. I mean, wow. It really is. And even though we have a Tesco, it trades under a different name, and it's obvious because the milk, for example, the Arla or the lactose-free one is actually 40 pence more expensive in Jersey than it is here in the Tesco, even though it's trading as a Tesco.
How interesting.
So were you saying that it's more expensive in Jersey?
Yeah.
Or less expensive in Jersey?
More
expensive.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that's because they're all the millionaires that live in Jersey. You mark up the whole system. It's quite simple.
It's one way to make money, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, how are you going to get those millionaires if they can't afford to pay 40 pence more for their pint of milk?
See, that really surprises me, because if I moved to London, I would say the opposite. I would say it's probably cheaper in Lincoln than it is in London.
I'm sure you're right, because my friend lives in Sittingbourne and she's mortified by prices here. But I think Kent is, you know, it depends where you live. If you live in a, you know, I suppose if you live in Knightsbridge, you're going to pay ridiculous prices. And if you live in, you know, some little outskirt near Croydon, it's going to be something different. I think it's up and down the country. It suits the demographic of the people that live in the area. But it's much cheaper than Jersey, that's a definite.
And what, pray tell, Anna, are you engaging your system with now you've actually taken this stage? Can you share with us what things you're actually doing? Or is it a case of, well, I could, but then I'd have to actually press the destruct button?
Yeah, well, everything slightly stuck because I was waiting for my goods to be delivered from Jersey yesterday, only to find that the 12-metre-long lorry delivering it was stuck and it couldn't actually come into my road, because there was some illegal parking going on that cut the corner off and he couldn't turn. So all my stuff had to go in storage, which I didn't want. I wanted a bed to sleep.
Could you not have actually connected with some of those wonderful, friendly London types and said, could we please have a relay system going here so the actual 12-metre-long lorry could actually stay at the end of the road, and then you could have got to go, got to know your neighbours as well, effectively? Just a thought.
The Townsend Council, they put a parking restriction on the road, but there were people still parking there regardless, and you could never even get a fire engine down the road because of it. So Hounslow is not a good borough to live in, I decided.
Apparently, yeah, they've done that all through London, and also there's new charges as well in terms of what kind of car you have. So if So if you enter like a restricted zone, for instance, and you have a diesel car, they the council then charges you for being in like a low pollution area.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm in a dark position. I've got a parking space and I don't drive.
Nice. Rented out.
Yeah,
rented out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But it's people for visitors. Very useful for people coming by to say hello.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
One day, Anna, I might even drop by myself. I'm not guaranteeing it. I'll probably take a train, you know, and then I can press the emergency button.
Yeah.
little heads up in terms of people who like Oxfam, and who doesn't, let's face it. In Lincoln this week, that's on Friday the 13th of April, there's a special Oxfam bookshop sale with heaps and heaps of books taking place, actually between 5 and 7pm.
Is that the one in the corner?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great bookshop.
If you like your books,
yeah.
It's where they've had a huge delivery of books spanning multiple eras, movements and mediums. And due to the sheer volume of books, according to James Grigg, the manager of Oxfam Lincoln Bookshop, many hundreds, they can't normally offer so much at once in the shop, which is why they've decided to put on this special event to have everything available to browse.
So I know where I'm going on Friday.
There you are, Friday the 13th, 5 through 7pm. Oxfam Bookstore in Lincoln. Great stuff. Anna, you need to get well and sort out the voice so that when next we connect with your good self, you'll be in top form.
I won't
top
be
form.
Quite so croaky.
Yeah.
I
don't know who was actually sort of chuntering on over the loudspeaker in the background there. Probably some sort of citizen who wanted to actually sort of say, it's all right, Hounslow Country Council is wonderful. Shaylee, the last two questions, please, for Anna now.
And have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening, Anna?
I have, and I'm pleased to be on the mainland.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, the
brilliant.
Big island, as we like to say.
Yeah.
The big island.
Big Isle. And will you be back next Thursday?
Mm. Yeah, hopefully I'll be a bit more vocal and not so creaky.
Nice line there, again, bowling that next Thursday, when of course the show is on a Wednesday.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Whoosh.
It's because I haven't been on a Wednesday for ages.
Exactly. It's strange.
Next Wednesday.
Exactly. It's wondrous.
When I first saw you, I saw love. And the first time you touched me, I felt love. And after all this time, you're still the one I love. Might have took the long way. We knew we'd get there someday. They said, I bet they'll never make it. But just look at us holding on. We're still together, still going strong. Still, you're still the one I run.
Still the one I hand when it comes to ace writing and editing SFX from America? Clearly, there can be only one, as they used to say in Highlander. It is still the one. It's Tara Bennett. How are you, Tara?
Hello, Alex. It's so great to talk to you. I'm wonderful, thank you.
Excellent. Well, as you said, the thing I always appreciate when you do the rants and rave section of the SFX magazine, it's all positive. Love that Legion returns uncompromisingly weirder for season two. Continues to be a beautiful puzzle that keeps me on my toes. The Tara is surprisingly intense and affecting. Great character work and claustrophobic tension. And The Handmaid's Tale still pokes all the right Tara buttons for our current reality. Marvellous. And indeed, in many ways, that's the whole thing. Yeah, that's science fiction, and it reflects the challenges that we're faced with in the world today. It's nice to know that your commander-in-chief has actually just gone on records today as saying that North Korea can look forward to some nice, shining, brand-new missiles appearing in the area in the not-too-distant future. We'd hate you guys to be selling out, odd ones, or ones that were sort of shop-soiled, etc. You've got to have nice, bright, shiny new ones if we're going to head towards Armageddon.
Make sure you guys have a space for me, because I might be emigrating to your lovely country.
Tara, what better way to actually coordinate the whole sort of system there than as we look forward to a matter of, well, actually days now before SFX Edition 300 strikes home. The 300th edition of this awesome magazine presumably it's already been done and dusted effectively. You might well have already seen what's going in it, Tara.
Yeah, I wrote a decent amount of what's in it, which is great, and I'm so thrilled that I've been part of the SFX family for such a long time. I started writing for them in 2004, so I have gratefully been in quite a few and participated in many of those 300 issues, but I'm just so proud that that we're still making amazing journalism for sci-fi and genre TV and film around the world, that we're still this awesome place for discovery and to dig in deeper to find out about how the things that you love are made and why they're done. And it's just really, really wonderful to work for Rich and for Nick over at SFX.
Well, exactly so. And let's not forget the likes of Dave Bradley, of course, and even Dave Golder and Jay Simpson, who were there back in the day.
I miss the Daves. Well, yeah. Dave Golder's still with us here and there as a freelancer, but yeah. Dave Bradley is moved on to other micro gaming shores, but I love all of them. They're
exactly.
So awesome.
Exactly. Shaley McKenzie has been busily reading the feature on page 46 of the current May 2018 edition of SFX, specifically relating to Techno Fear, There's a Revolution Happening in Westworld Season 2. Shaley, questions for Tara.
Oh, I'm a huge, huge fan of Westworld. What was your favourite character?
Oh, you know, it's really interesting. It's really funny that you, because I literally have on my TV the first episode of season two right now. I knew it.
Coordination. It might well be half nine in the morning, 9:30 a.m. in Los Angeles, but we can still bond over the joys of Westworld. Exactly.
Absolutely. I love Jeffrey Wright. He's really wonderful, and what he's doing with Bernard is really enigmatic and interesting. But that's really one of those shows where the cast is so stellar, and the stories are so interesting that I was in with all of them. You know, it's just what they're going to end up doing and what they're going to end up revealing. I'm just excited to see.
And isn't it nice that you get the reference to Fordism and robots and the whole essence of the character of Ford and even indeed Rossum's Universal Robots and RUR and Carol Chapek and so on? Somebody like Sol Shirley, who's connected back in the day
Definitely.
With the science fiction module of third year, all fits
that
into place.
That was a great play. Yeah, no, 100%. Do you prefer this version of Westworld or the original version?
You know, I think they're so different. I love that they touch on the same things, but if you're going to watch the movies, there's kind of more of a pulpy feel about them that
Definitely.
I think the TV show is so much more cerebral. I mean, it's certainly very gritty and dark and can be very gory and violent at times, but the kind of deep thinking that's going on about existence and reality and who we are and all of that, I think, is it just takes Jonah Nolan and Lisa Joy's kind of taking it into a far more thoughtful place. But both, I think you can enjoy both of them. They're just kind of like feel like odd cousins.
Yes, well said.
You can
definitely
have a good experience with both.
No, 100%. It definitely makes you question your own existence, and also with AI, the whole debate going on around there is really, really interesting.
I was saying I did the interview as you were reading for Westworld for SFX with Jonah Nolan, and we both laughed about how neither one of us want to have an Alexa in our house.
No. See, my friend has one in every room, and it weirds me out.
Me too.
Like, why do you have one in every room? Stop.
No, you let the if you let the AI know too much about you, then you're asking for
That's
whatever
it,
happens.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thought as I actually sort of reach for my portable device and hopefully actually look to get some suggestions. Say, Alexa, tell me about radio stations. She's gone very quiet now. I see. She's gone very, very shy. Let's try one she might actually know. Alexa, tell me about SFX magazine.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Unbelievable, you see?
Uneducated.
Sorry, I'm not sure.
I mean, Richard, have you ever seen Westworld?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh,
I've
my goodness, you need
really
to.
Heard of it.
Have you not?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
This
we
coming
need to
from
educate
a filmmaker
Richard.
Who does stop-motion animatography. Tara Richard is a big fan of the work of Ray Harryhausen. And I think you need to work through that and check out Westworld. See the first two movies as well. You've got Yul Brynner in there as the gunslinger.
Yeah.
And lots of connections within that. Now, moving on to page 63, head-frying mutant drama Legion is about to get stranger and weirder, according to star Dan Stevens. Tara Bennett wonders, how is this possible?
It's true. If anybody watched the first season of that show, it was probably one of the most inventive and creative and just strange ways of taking a superhero comic book story and really kind of coming at it from a completely different angle. If you like Fargo, the TV series, Noah Hawley did that adaptation from the Coen Brothers movies and then went on to now adapt Legion from comic books. And it's in, if you're a comic book fan, it's in the X-Men realm, but obviously because of TV and licenses and all that good stuff, there isn't direct reference, per se, to the X-Men, but there's definitely a feel that there's mutants, that there's all kinds of superpowers going on, but more it's this really dark exploration of the mind and mental illness and what that means, and also what something is kind of a parasite inside of your head, which you think is mental illness, but is actually possibly some passenger that's trying to tinker with you. It was a wonderful unfolding of unexpected narrative and visuals, and season two, I can attest, is already moving along. And what you thought, if you thought it was going in one way, it is absolutely not going that way. And I love that. Challenging TV, stuff you can't expect. I mean, we all have our comfort food TV, but this is definitely a show that kind of demands you engage in it, and you get rewarded for it. It's a really cool show.
Are we living in a golden age of television, do you feel, Tara? I mean, people often say, oh, yes, you know, back in the day in the 60s and 70s, you had lots of things coming through that. But it seems with Netflix, and Richard Edwards has actually written about this, on the one hand, he's delighted we are living in a golden age, but there's a slight concern maybe it'll end before too long when everybody actually has their own channel.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, there was a survey that I got last year, just actually in January, that said there's 487 television shows in the United States, and I'm sure you guys are probably just about there or have as many or more. And it just there's not enough time. And the only thing that's worrisome is that you hit a saturation point where some really great television ends up not finding an audience just because we all it'd be great if none of us had to work and we could just sit and watch and binge wonderful narratives, but that's
but
not how the world works.
Would we not actually just end up like the people who went into space in WALL-E if all we were doing was watching just television all that stuff?
Right, we just become very large blobs on moving trams.
Yeah, yeah. Or in the words of the original Star Trek series, The Cage, or the episode of The Cage, Captain Kirk, Pike has an illusion and you have reality. May you find your way as pleasant.
Yes, I love that. We'll all blip inside of a box with a yes or a no.
Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah, too much TV. I mean, great TV, so I think find the ones that are great for you. But yeah, they'll hit a peak at a certain point where all of this will kind of even itself out, and we'll probably see a dip in what's being produced.
Indeed. In case you're wondering about the backstory of Legion, created by writer Chris Claremont and Bill Sienkiewicz, the lead character is the son of Professor Charles Xavier and Gabrielle Haller. Mutant name is Legion, of course, from the biblical passage, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Always been cast out in other bits and pieces. Earlier in the piece, of course, page 56, the kick inside, season 2 of The Handmaid's Tale is here. Tara Bennett discovers why it's still TV's most terrifyingly relevant future. I was so pleased to see it finally Rich's realising you need to have at least a third of SFX magazine just dedicated to yourself, Tara, because otherwise...
I know, bless him. Bless, you know, the way we work at SFX is that we have a beat. So if there's a show that you cover, and it just so happens that all of the shows that I cover were coming out in the same month. So I appreciate all of the wonderful work. But, yeah, usually they space me out a little bit more a little bit more evenly. But, yes, no, this month was amazing. And again, all three shows I can highly recommend more, and I mean that, because they are I've gotten the first episodes for all of them. And you just get a sense that these are some really, really smart storytellers that have a point of view and have a very definitive story to tell. And that's always awesome. That's wonderful. You know, TV can be more of an organic nature, and sometimes showrunners are trying to find what their story is. It takes a little while to do it, but we've got second seasons for all of these shows, and they all feel very assured in what they're going to be presenting to us. And Handmaid's Tale is, of course, you know, probably one of the most relevant, as you were mentioning a little earlier, about what's going on in our very strange world right now. And so it feels far more cautionary, the TV, than other things that are out there. But it certainly is extraordinarily potent and really great.
I was intrigued to see that HBO have started the trailers for their version of Fahrenheit 451. And I must admit, I'm not initially that impressed. I know that people talk about a remake of Fahrenheit 451 after François Truffaut's 1960s version. I'm not sure. I don't know if you've seen any of that as yet, Tara.
I saw it as in issue 300 is my interview with the writer-director. I can say, yes, I watched it, and I'm probably with you. There's some really interesting things and contemporizations of the story, but there's also some directions that maybe I wasn't particularly fond of. So a little bit of a mixed bag with that one, but certainly, again, another story that I think absolutely requires revisiting, especially go back and read Bradbury's book.
Very much. we'll be talking to somebody who actually worked with Ray Bradbury back in the day, Phil Leonis, at the end of the production. And I think Phil would possibly also say that, for me at least, and this is just the trailer initially, it seems to lack the poetry that the Truffaut version had in the 1960s with, obviously, Oscar Werner and Julie Christie in the lead roles. Talking about chemistry and good lines, I think Shaley's forgiven me now for introducing her to the, for me, all-time best binge-worthy the program of the 21st century so far, The Good Place.
Oh, such a good series. And it's so disappointing that they're only 20 minutes long.
I
want it to be longer.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
There are these little 20-minute kernels of perfection.
Oh, well said. I like it. I'm going to steal that.
I feel like I have to pace myself with that show. I'm so excited to see, because they leave them in such a space where you want to know exactly what happens next, but you know that they're so quick and the season isn't that long that, I'm going to have to wait for a long time to see what happens next. But what a brilliant second season. I love that show so much.
I think I watched the entire second season in one day, just because I needed my hit of The Good Place.
It's really funny. They actually shoot that show not far from where I live on Universal Studios' backlot. And when you drive the tram tour, when you participate in that, they actually, you can see the square, you know, where they had all the yogurts. And then, you know, I almost got out and ran and was like, it's My Good Place.
This would be a perfect selfie opportunity. I am in The Good Place. Or is it The Bad Place?
Yes.
We'll never know.
So you see, Richard, just some of the titles that are upcoming that you can access through the joys of SFX. And we haven't even spoken about what launches on Netflix in a matter of days from now, actually, on Friday. And that, of course, is the remake of Lost in Space.
Ooh, that sounds wicked.
Yeah, I'm hearing wonderful things about it. Obviously, I've had a lot of TV to watch, so that one is one that I'm planning on watching when it actually hits, because I haven't had to cover it. But my colleagues that have seen it really, really enjoy it, and they're really pleased that it's a really fun and visually satisfying updating of that show.
Danger, Will Robinson. Warning, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
And more.
And Parker Posey as Dr. Smith. What an interesting little twist there.
Oh, I love Parker Posey.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Will she manage to capture the Jonathan Harris epic version? I don't know. The pain. Speaking of the pain, let's return to your best friend, Alexa, for a moment, because let's actually try this. Alexa, open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Hal and we're not.
not in space.
That's awesome. I mean, so much creepy, time. But
what's not to love?
Awesome, so but creepy.
It's
at the
sharing
same time.
With Alexa. She's listening now. Hopefully, it's boosted our audience by at least one artificial life form.
So I'm leaving the room now.
All making this wonderful data crunching scenarios. Welcome to the 21st century. Tara, as we said, issue 300 is literally a matter of days away from that perspective. You can go to gamesradar.com/SFX. Of course, there's the wonderful work of yourself and Paul Terry that you can also access from those sort of details. What else are you kind of busily working through, apart from, as I say, just preparing for the 300th issue spectacular, which has Solo, : a Star Wars story, because there weren't enough scoundrels in our lives, plus Deadpool 2, How to Talk to Girls at Parties, Humans, and yes, the critical one, as I raised today at a science fiction seminar with my third year English students, Superman is 80 this year. 80.
Wow. Isn't that crazy? That's completely nuts. Well, for 300, I have the interview with the director and writer of Fahrenheit 451, and I also have an interview with the creator of Colony, which starts its third season, and I do a podcast with actually Paul Terry. We both produce that podcast, which will start at the very beginning of May, and you can get that anywhere. And then also Paul and I got announced yesterday that the two of us are co-writing Marvel, the first 10 years, a definitive book on the making of the studios. So We're super excited about that.
Take that, Les Daniels. I know you did History of Marvel Comics, but this is the movie that's waited 10 years in the making as we head off to Infinity War in a matter of days. It's a whole new wonderful world. And, of course, that gives us another podcast to access as well, because not only have we got Chilpack Hollywood with Phil Lernis and Dean Hagdon from The X-Files, we've also got Larry Nemechek with his regular weekly 15-minute podcast on The Trek Files from the Gene Roddenberry Archives. Now we've got Paul Terry and Tara Bennett as well. So it's wondrous, wondrous stuff from that basis. Tara, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the program today?
As always, yeah.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again in the very near future?
Yes, please.
Yay!
You're not mine. Shall I call you love, use your name? Shall I wear my sadness face or look the same? I am careful to avoid the touch of your hand. I must not be drawn into the bedroom of your eyes.
You're not mine anymore. As we take our last walk together along the midnight shore.
Say you'd see me soon, but you're as silent as the moon. You could say let's start again, but you think of other men. And I wonder if I ever knew the more elusive inner you. For the buttons of your mind were difficult to find, and my fingers far too clumsy.
curiously the B-side of a tune called Lily the Pink, done by The Scaffold, which actually features Paul McCartney's brother-in-law, I believe. Buttons of Your Mind, as we continue that question. What is reality? What's it all about? Well, somebody who's always managed to address that, whether she's been talking about Shirley Temple or indeed her ace son, who's doing all manner of wonderful things. And she's an agent, she's a producer, she's a writer. Let's face it, Kelly Duncan Joyner, KDG, she's awesome. Kelly, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
So long.
I know.
What's the deal? Do you disregard us Americans because of the President of the United States? You pretend you don't know me anymore?
Kelly,
is that it?
I deserve that because it has.
I'd be embarrassed.
There's always a place for the Duncan Joiners in Lincoln, England, should you wish to come over. It's always there.
Love it.
I speak on behalf of Theresa May.
We were actually in London in July, I believe.
Kelly, that's outrageous. Why didn't you let us know?
Well, first of all, I couldn't get over the time. I'd wake up at 2 o'clock every day.
Uh-huh.
So I couldn't adjust to the time zone. But we were there for, we went to London, Paris, and Venice for a little jaunt.
Well, I'm going to turn it around on you now.
Yeah,
I mean, Kelly, you were basically 126 miles away from this studio. You could have actually demonstrated to your son that actually there was another place in England other than London. It's called Lincoln.
You know what? Next time, for sure, because we're going to spend more time in England. So that's a promise.
Excellent.
I guarantee it.
We'll look through that whole process.
Yeah. We got to see you two at Twickenham?
Twickenham, but the way you say Twickenham, that's wonderful. I love that's great. You know, home of rugby. Exactly, Twickenham. Or yes. Twickers sometimes.
Well, we saw you too. Well, so we had a great time.
Well, Bono, of course, does wonders, as does Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen, and of course The Edge. It's like The Edge of Reason. It's phenomenal.
Fabulous.
Shaylee. Yeah. You've been doing some research into Kelly Duncan Joyner.
Oh, don't tell her that. It's going to be like, so, Kelly, what's it like working for Tom Chasen?
Whoa.
Hey.
Well, yeah. You know, right now I am not working.
No.
I'm a mom to a working child who is working. He just started the American version of camping.
Ooh.
Julia... it was a series, I know it's originated, of course, as they all do, in England, created by Julia Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Who, of course, has written extensively for BBC television and writing and produced a whole variety of sort of lines from that.
Yeah, well, they are doing an American version of that. My son plays the son of Jennifer Garner and David Tennant.
Nice.
Yeah, Doctor Who. So that's been a lot of fun. We started this week.
Yeah. I mean, Jennifer Garner and David Tennant. I mean, you've got Alias as well as the Doctor there, as well as Broadchurch.
Those are his mom and dad.
Now, we're currently looking at a photograph on your Facebook page, Kelly, because even Mark Zuckerberg would say this is the Joyner family in full force. That is not wonderful. young Duncan Joyner and mom. Fantastic. It's heart-rending. Heart-rending from it. And indeed, Jennifer Garner herself has posted the first photo from the set of this HBO comedy, Camping. I'm going to like that.
Yeah,
I'm going to like that now. I have just liked it.
Yeah, she is so unbelievably sweet. She lives up to a lot of these people you meet and you think that they're, you know, they come off kind of guarded. But she just ran up to us and said, Duncan! And just introduced myself as Duncan's mom. She goes, no, what is your name? And
nice.
She wanted to know my name. And she was just so lovely.
Well,
and I cannot say better things about her, but I will. She's great.
I mean, let's face it. You know, she was in the original Daredevil movie as Elektra, and indeed stars as Elektra.
Oh,
in
she's
the
so good.
Wow! My goodness.
Is she as tall as I think she is?
She's tall. Yeah, she's tall, but not overbearing tall. She
just the right amount.
What you see, what you see is what you get, and she's just beautiful. Just beautiful.
Nice.
So, it's a real pleasure. And David Tennant, very funny, very nice. And they're all really good actors on the set.
They are privileged, Kelly, to be working with your offspring. You can relay that to them, basically. I'm sure they'll acknowledge that. Meanwhile, early in the season, I see that Andrew Joyner, of course, had put up a photograph about Southern California champs NorCal's best coming into town in two, or best coming to town in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Talk to us about this. Is this baseball?
Yes. Hockey is a...
Oh, it's hockey. Yeah, there we are. It's clearly, this is not the sports show, obviously. It's hockey, not baseball. It could be very confusing if you actually sort of went out expecting to play baseball.
No, he skates on a little tiny blade.
Yeah.
So I was a figure skater for many, many years. And, of course, I had plans of him being a figure skater, but that went south real fast. And he became the complete opposite, which is a hockey player. And he's become quite good. They went to state championship, but they came in second in double timeout, which is meaning they had the regular game, and then they had another extra inning, and then they had to go to a second inning, and the other team scored. So it was a made-for-movie
I think we can pass it on to our screenwriter William Cole straight away. He can combine that with a kind of.
I feel like I'd enjoy that.
Yeah, it would be fine. It was working the way through that. Richard, any thoughts you'd like to put to Kelly Duncan Joyner about life, the universe, and so on?
Oh well, you put me on the spot now.
Well, Richard.
Yes. Hello.
Come on, Richard. Hello.
So
she doesn't bite, much like Jennifer Garner in many ways. It's all right.
Unless you ask her.
I know that there are many men in the world, including the late Roger Moore, who when they actually realised they were speaking to the Kelly Duncan Joyner, they thought, oh, I can't cope any more with this. But it's okay, you just let it go.
So when you say you've been to London in England, is there anywhere else you would like to go to in England? We've got many places. Yes,
Middlesbrough. Sunderland. Lincoln, Allen's West.
I would say Lincoln, of course. I wanted to get to know all parts of England, and that's what our job as parents is, that we want to show our son the world. So it's great to be in London, but we want to meet people and stop in, drive and go into the little villages and see how people live. That's really living to me.
Because of course,
and meeting the people. You can see sights that everyone sees all the time, but it's the extraordinary moments we had on our vacation were having dinner and meeting the people that were next to us, or the conversations we had along the way. That was the greatest part.
How exciting.
And that's what we want to do. So, we'll explore all of England.
Yeah.
Because strangely enough, and I know this might be a shock for you, Kelly, just going to London, it's not necessarily representative of Britain as a whole. I know it's a bit of a shock for people to actually appreciate that, but, it's a bit like sort of saying, well, New York, all Americans are like New Yorkers, No, it's all Americans are like people in Detroit.
Oh, no.
No, exactly. Arizona.
Because of my son's work, and I am by his side everywhere we go. We were in I don't know if you got this series Waco. It's a mini series called Waco.
We have heard of it.
No, not yet.
It's out there. Okay. I mean, it's obviously you got into all sorts. Are we talking about the Waco massacre and the sort of challenge that was faced there from the cults that ended up in challenges?
My son plays David Koresh's son, Cyrus Koresh, in that, which Taylor Kitsch plays David Koresh.
Kelly,
we were filming.
Once you've actually, in the words of Taylor Kitsch, once you've actually been in John Carter of Mars, where can your career go? Obviously playing a cult leader. It's wonderful. It's clearly it connects on that sort of basis.
This isn't the series that's currently on Netflix, is it?
It's Taylor Kitsch and Michael Shannon. It's the real account of what happened at the Waco
siege.
It's a series. It's a 6-episode series, and Taylor Kitsch is brilliant.
Good.
And unbelievable. You have to see it, but it's really hard to watch. Even though I was there for every scene, it was to watch the episode at the end to, you know, walk away because it is so...
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Never mind.
It's a tough one. And what's great about that is that the survivor, David Thibodeau, and the Michael Shannon's character, Gary Nesner, were both on set. Two people that were there who wrote books about it, and they compiled the screenplay from their books. Those actual accounts of what really happened.
Yeah, sometimes you think with respect to all cult scenarios, just let it chill, just relax, unwind. It's not the end of the world, and it shouldn't be.
Yeah, they just wait it. Exactly. You know what?
I mean, we've got over 4,500 podcasts you can listen to actually help you chill if you want to. Just download those from Southside Broadcasting.
There you go. If only they had this podcast.
Well,
you know, things would be very different.
As you know, Kelly, ever since we started connecting with you in the 20th century as opposed to the 21st century, we've always looked to the basis of changing the worldview one listener at a time. And, you know, step by step, we're working through that. Upcoming in the programme, we've got lead singer of a new band called Mood Ring Circus. That would be Justin Larkin. And I know that one of the fine folk who put us in touch with Justin, R.W. Saunders, not related, or indeed R.W. Saunders, not related to the colonel with the chicken, just to be quite clear about that.
Okay, good, because I'm vegetarian.
Nice, like to hear that. It's very good. And if only I actually hadn't had that meat pie a day or so ago, I'm pretty much sure I wouldn't have actually had a tummy. But anyway, that's a by the
way. All right.
It's a whole system there. Can we actually play you a little sample of Mood Ring Circus, and then you can cast your critical ear over this particular thing? And if you like you too, you might appreciate it. Goo Goo Dolls, various other sort of things.
Okay,
right?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Mood Rings.
Well, nice. Oh, so it could fit into place there. It could almost be a historic connection. In fact, I'll give you a choice. We can offer you either Rainy Day, Hello, or Zeros and Ones. Which one do you want to go for?
I'm going to go Hello. Hello, because that's a good welcoming kind of thing to my ears.
Well, here we are from their latest album, which was released in a matter of days, and awaiting the thoughts of both Shaylee and Richard and Kelly Duncan Joyner, Mood Ring Circus. Hello.